Hi, everybody. Once again, this is Jeff Adams from the Icebox Radio Theater, welcoming you to yet another edition of our number one premier podcast, Radio Icebox. This is episode number 10, entitled Play Misty for Me. And we'll be getting on with comedy and goofiness and all that good stuff in just a bit. But I want to let you know that we have officially launched our Patreon account. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Just search for it on Google. And let me tell you, the launch was very exciting and far more successful than I had even dared to hope. So I invite you all, if you enjoy the show and would like to see these shows continue, to go ahead and visit Patreon, search for Radio Icebox, and learn all about the wonderful service they provide for little groups like ours. So without further ado, let's head on up north to Icebox, Minnesota, and play Misty for me from Radio Icebox.
Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
Is she all right?
Shh. Keep it down. She's resting.
But is she all right?
I think so.
She should really go see a doctor.
She says she doesn't need that. She just needs a little time to rest her eyes.
I'm going in there.
No, you're not.
I'm going.
Cody, please. Calm down. Come on. Let's go down to the DJ studio and voice track your show. You know that always makes you feel better.
I don't want to feel better. Not until I know what's going on with Jennifer.
You and me both, but it's not happening right now. Give the girl a chance to rest.
I will come and get you the minute she comes out.
See, there's nothing you can do right now.
Well, fine. If you're all going to be that way about it.
I think his mood's improving.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, out of the way, I gotta talk to that girl.
Oh, no, you don't. She's resting, and from the looks of her, she'll need it.
What she needs is a doctor.
That's what I said.
And what did she say?
She said she doesn't, and then she...
What? What is it?
Then she... Well, I was kind of insisting she needed a doctor, and I might have gotten a little belligerent, so she kind of insisted she didn't need a doctor by showing me her gun.
She's carrying a gun?
Thigh holster, like a spy.
No wonder she always wears skirts.
Honestly, JJ, what are we gonna do?
Honestly, Abby, I have no idea.
If I might... If I might make one suggestion, perhaps you guys could take this conversation somewhere other than right outside the store.
Oh, right, right. Sorry.
We're really sorry.
That's okay. Just need some rest. Splitting headache.
Right. We'll go down to the basement.
Right. But first...
What?
Since you clearly heard everything that we just said, could I see your gun?
Abby, please hit JJ.
Gladly.
Ow!
Come on, Pistol Pete. The girl needs her rest.
I'm sorry!
That's all right. Back down the rabbit hole.
Here are some events of interest upcoming in the Icebox metropolitan area. The 25th annual Icebox Outdoor Expo is scheduled for the Opera House Main Ballroom this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come enjoy over 100 exhibits on hunting, fishing, camping, and cryptozoology, including the world's most complete collection of Bigfeet originating from Tibet all the way to Oregon. Expo goers are reminded that this year, the Sasquatch are only to be fed by pre-approved chickens and pigs available for purchase at the expo. And remember, beef jerky can lead to erratic behavior in the large bipedal hominids, and we don't want a repeat of the Great Feces Fight of 2010. Larry Conrad would like the community to know that he is available for all furniture repair, restoration, and remodeling that you might need. Stop by his shop and showroom at the corner of Wet and 4th Street to see examples of his many wonderful works of furniture art, including an actual operational iron throne, an enchanted dinette set with the ability to change size, and for the youngsters, a race car bed that will do 0 to 60 in 4.2 seconds. Remember, all major credit cards accepted at Conrad's Furniture, and please, no sitting.
It's just... I don't understand.
I'm really sorry, Dr. Graves.
Was it something I said? Something I did?
No, it was nothing like that.
Had the stories been, well, I don't know, wrong?
No. The stories have always been great. I mean, the Gravedigger's Hour, it's our highest rated show. You should see the porch lights when it's on. It's like we don't even need street lamps.
Then why did that girl do it?
The building was in danger of falling apart. She had to stop them.
But my house.
I know.
It's silent.
I understand.
I miss them all so much.
I don't know what I can do about that.
Could you talk to her?
I could try, but she keeps saying we're all in grave danger and we need to leave town.
Oh, dear.
She might have taken your ghosts away, but she's close to taking away my radio station.
I don't understand any of this.
Oh, you and me both. It's to the point I dread that door opening because I don't know what's going to come through it.
What are you going to do about this?
See?
I demand to know, James, and I won't stay in this building another minute until I do.
Are you worried about the ghosts, too?
Hello, Doctor. What ghosts?
Exactly.
Dr. Graves is worried because his ghosts went missing.
Graves' manor is as silent as a tomb now.
Oh, I see. What does that have to do with Miss Saren?
Nothing. Unless, of course, she's dead.
She isn't dead, is she, Barb? Barb?
Of course she isn't.
Then why didn't you answer me?
I was just savoring the thought.
Okay, what's wrong?
Oh, everything. I can't have the costumes I want. I can't have the actors I want. And that little dog. Ugh.
Dog? There's a dog in this play?
A pug named Buggy. That's in the play. The performer is an adenoidal retriever.
I'm not familiar with that breed.
No, it's just a dog with... Never mind.
That explains all the snotty snorking I've heard in the basement. So what's the problem?
You've hit it on the head, James. The dog is disgusting. And he never barks on cue. He growls at the least opportune moments.
Hang on. How about we just replace the dog with a human actor? You know, I can do a pretty good bark.
I'd love to, but that snot-nosed canine belongs to a friend of Melanie's. She insists on keeping him in the play.
Look, I'll tell you what. I'll go down there and talk to Melanie.
Oh, could you? I would most appreciate
it. And while I'm doing that, you two hash out the ghost problem.
What?
Look, Barb, you were the one that brought Dr. Graves back from the nether regions. You can work it out.
I believe JJ meant... Nether world, not nether regions.
Oh, well, I guess that would make more sense then.
I'm so lonely. Can you help?
I beg your pardon.
It's silly of me to feel this way, but I've become quite attached to them all.
Who, the ghosts?
My ghosts. The ghosts of Graves Manor. My house is silent, Barbara, for the first time in years.
Well, I don't know what JJ expected me to do about that.
I believe he was thinking in terms of a seance. Rather like the one you performed to bring me back.
Oh, but I didn't know what I was doing. I just lit a few candles and read out of a book.
Oh, I'll just have to get used to it, I suppose.
Well, we could always murder someone and see if that would help.
Barbara, don't be absurd.
Oh, no, no. I didn't mean a human being. No matter how tempting that may be.
Oh, good.
But there is this dog.
Oh, no good. I'm looking for ghosts that can dictate their stories.
Perhaps a children's book, then. Instead of Old Yeller, you can call him Old Sneezer.
Would that work?
I don't know. Could we possibly take a rain check, Doctor? I need to get back down to rehearsal.
Of course, I understand.
We will find a solution to your problem, my good friend, but I am needed elsewhere. How this place ever ran without me is a mystery.
Good luck with the play.
Your sentiment is appreciated, but while you're distributing luck, you might as well cook up a miracle.
Indeed. Oh... Oh, oh dear. Hello? No, I don't believe we've met. I'm Roger Graves. Why, yes, I do own Graves Manor. Who am I addressing, please? No, it's no trouble at all. You have no idea how happy I am to see you.
The lottery. Don't have the thing. of luxury. I've tried to just be real for you to see and find a way to love you. I am nothing like the legendary Prince of Cool. I couldn't ever be everything to you, but my heart keeps finding ways to invent new rules and find a way to love you. It's not about having buns of steel, no money, hot clothes, no limousines. When I look at you, I like the way it feels. Please find the way to love me. I could fall into your arms, find some place for us that's soft and warm, free of cares, free from all harm, and find a way to love you. I don't believe the man when he sings, I can fix everything. Together we can see what the moonlight brings, and I'll find a way to love you.
News headlines now from the Radio Icebox News Service. This is Petridge Farmer reporting. A formal protest was filed today by Daltrey Townsend of River Avenue over this year's Christmas light competition organized by the Icebox Neighborhood Association. Townsend, who is a 3-time winner of the contest, blames what he referred to as, quote, increasingly puritanical and un-American leanings of our town, unquote, on the failure of his 2015 display to win recognition. Townsend's display was an attempt to represent the state of the American working class by showing Santa Claus riding a foreign-made car while performing a carnal act on international bankers who were represented by Ronald McDonald. Townsend forfeited his $10 entry fee and is prohibited from participating in the upcoming Easter decoration contest. As a sidebar, the winner of this year's Christmas contest was Barbara Nelson, whose display was titled You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. Nelson Romani has filed a police report claiming that when he returned home from visiting his daughter in Duluth Sunday night, invisible goats had infested his home. Romani told police he found his house in a horrible state upon arrival, with upholstery chewed up, knickknacks smashed on the floor,
the refrigerator wide open, and everywhere the sound and smells of goats. Police investigated the scene and agreed with Romani that the sounds and damage were consistent with a medium-sized herd of small or pygmy goats, but that no such animals could be seen with the naked eye. When one officer was obviously butted from behind by an unseen assailant, the officers politely excused themselves from the residents, saying the events were outside the traditional purview of law enforcement. Romani told reporters he was just about ready to move into the garage when an invisible voice screamed at him in Italian, then began gently herding the invisible goats out into the night. Romani plans to deal with the situation by getting new locks and possibly an alarm system.
Hey.
Hi.
I can leave if you're busy.
That's all right. I just had some things.
Work?
Can I help you, Cody?
It's nice having wireless here at the station, isn't it? You can get so much more done.
Cody, I think
Of course, it's a little ridiculous talking about having wireless at a radio station. We're all about wireless.
What are you talking about?
Nothing, really. I don't know what to say, so I'm saying nothing.
Well, I should go.
Jennifer, wait.
I really have a lot of things to do.
Just wait.
What is it?
Can you do something for me?
Depends on what that is.
Can we just pretend that none of the weirdness is happening?
I don't think I understand.
I've been working at this station for as long as I can remember. Literally. My first memory is of handing Grandpa a socket wrench. And things have always been a little different around here. But not like these last few months. Ghosts, zombie turkeys, gypsy ladies, all kinds of stuff. And all of that is mixed up with you. Don't bother to deny it, but I wish we could just forget all of that for a moment. Just ignore it. Can we do that?
Okay.
Remember the day you came into the studio and made the ghosts go away?
I thought you said you wanted me to ignore all that.
But do you remember the day?
I can't answer questions about that.
Just one question then.
Cody, I can't.
Why did you kiss me?
Oh. I don't know.
You said you wanted me to think about it. You said, I want you to think about this. And then you kissed me.
I don't remember that.
I do. And I think you're lying when you say you don't.
How can you tell when I'm lying?
Your spycraft isn't that good.
My what?
The point is, I really want to know why you told me that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. My experience with girls is limited, and I'm probably being too direct when I ask that, and if there isn't an answer, then tell me. But I have to ask, why did you say it?
I said it because I didn't expect to see you again.
You were going to go away?
Yes.
And never come back?
Never.
So why did you? Come back, I mean.
It's 90% what's happening around here. Things are very close to being out of control, and I can't have that, not right now.
Okay.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Not really, no.
And you don't care?
Definitely not.
Why?
Because you said it's 90% what's happening around here. That means it's 10% something else.
Cody, you're a sweet boy.
Boy? I'm exactly 4 months younger than you.
True. But I've traveled a bit more.
And travel broadened you?
Let's just say I've seen a lot of things. And seeing those things led me to believe that I had a certain life in store. The people I'm with, they made it clear that my life would be lonely and short, but also important. So I made my choice. Didn't feel like a choice at the time. Didn't feel like I had many options.
And now?
You know what you are? You're an illusion. A really good illusion, but still just an illusion. A trick of the lights. When I kissed you that day...
I thought you said you didn't remember that.
When I kissed you that day, I believed the illusion was real. I was wrong. When you look at me, all you see is a girl you like. But I can never be that. The truth is, I never should have come back. I was feeling reckless and stupid, and the stupidest, most reckless thing I did that day was kiss you. It was a mistake, and I'd give anything to take it back. I'd give anything to take back all the mistakes I've made since coming here.
You're wrong.
No, I would. I'd give anything.
No, You're wrong about me.
What?
You said, when I look at you, I just see a girl that I like. That's not so. I see a lot more than that.
Cody,
I know every street of this town. Every corner, every book in the library. I know which window at Graves Manor gives when you press against it. I know where they hide the key to the back door of the Busy Bee. I even know where old Pierre's secret blueberry patch is, and he doesn't tell anyone that.
Why not?
If you ever had his cobbler, you'd understand. Point is, I've known everything about Icebox since I could read. There's no mystery in my life. Not until you.
I'm not anybody's mystery, Cody.
Sorry, you don't get that call.
But I can't be anybody's mystery. It's not safe for you, or me, or anyone.
It still stands, not your call. Look, I get it. You're some kind of spy or something, and you might not be able to be here much longer. There's a day coming when you're going to say you're leaving. And then you'll actually leave.
I have been pretty bad about that, haven't I?
Yes, you have. But I know what I'm getting myself into.
No, you really don't.
Then, I know what you mean to me, and you're more than a girl I like. And you're more than a mystery. You're the first.
The first what?
The first anything. And I know how that story always ends. It always ends with one of us leaving, except in certain religions and cultures where arranged marriage is still the norm.
You do read a lot, don't you?
Too much, to tell you the truth. But that's what you are to me. You're the first. The first anything.
It's not safe.
Never is. But I'm glad of one thing.
What's that?
I finally got you sitting in one place long enough to give you this.
Cody, no.
Don't worry, they're not diamonds.
I can't. You shouldn't. Let me ask you something.
Anything.
Would you ever leave Icebox?
Could I have another question, please?
That's what I thought.
It's cold outside, but we're heating things up with a mystery tonight on Radio Icebox Playhouse. It's time now for your all-time favorite. It's the Scoop Sisters with The Sound of Doom, Part 1. And it begins right now.
Calling all day. Honestly, who still has a landline?
Oh, it's you.
What? Of course it's me. Who did you expect?
Well, I was just getting ready to call you.
Sure you were.
We're just about done here.
I would hope so. You realize all of this is supposed to happen next week?
Oh, yes, it's on my calendar. Let's see. You wanted some saws and then some screams, is that right?
No, I wanted the saws to cause the screams.
Well, that's what I meant, of course.
It has to kill her, you understand?
I suppose it's just,
What is it?
Well, couldn't we just maim her, take off a leg, for example?
No, I want her dead, and I want her screaming. Is that clear?
In that order?
Oh, for the love of course not. Now, just get it done on time, or you know what will happen, right?
Yes, of course. Oh, one more thing.
What is it?
Where do you want me to deliver the body?
The back door, naturally. And do it at night. I don't want anyone to see you cause trouble.
Oh, is that likely?
Just do it.
Well, it's a lot of fuss if you ask me. After all, this is just a simple murder.
So there I was, 30-something, divorced, and a victim of the economy. So I did what any independent, self-respecting woman would do after being laid off from the job she'd put 10 years into. I ran home to mother. That would be plenty traumatic for most women, but my mother is something else.
Melody, come get your wheat germ before the organic honey congeals.
Or should I say some time else? The 60s, to be exact. But Mom stays active, running the local newspaper.
The Nutcase, Volume 1, Issue 1. Dateline, Icebox. Mayor silent on the pothole issue. What corruption is he hiding?
My daughter, Mary.
Hi.
And I keep busy keeping up with Mom. But we've done some good in our little town. In fact, the three of us have solved so many local mysteries that townspeople have taken to calling us...
The Scoop Sisters. In Color. Starring Karen Schickel as Mel. And Victoria Olson as Jasmine. Script written by Jeffrey Adams. Sound effects by the Irwin brothers, Piran and Dave. Tonight's episode, The Sound of Doom.
Mom? Mom? Where are you?
Right in here, dear. Right by the pile of rubble.
What on earth was that?
Nothing.
Is that the sewing machine?
Mostly. Oh, I need to get these costumes done for the play.
I thought you were just acting this time.
I am, but I'm doing costumes, too.
But wasn't
she... dropped out last minute. Something about leaving town for a boy in Argentina.
They do that sometimes.
Though generally not in Argentina.
Have you seen my style book?
Your what?
My AP style book. I've got a story for the next issue that has tense trouble.
Oh, honestly, sweetheart, I don't remember.
Are you all right, Mom?
Oh, just a little stressed out at having to do the costumes. I hadn't planned on adding another job.
Why do you even need costumes?
Well, for one thing, none of us wants to get arrested.
No. I mean, I thought the next play was going to be an old-time radio show.
Well, it is. But that still means 40s period dress for everyone. I don't know where on earth I'm going to find shoes to match all this fabric.
Seems like a lot of trouble.
Well, I agreed to do the costumes, and the director said she found great sound effects artists. Someone right here in town with a huge collection of old props. I'm so glad they did because I was ready to volunteer, and I think my schedule might be getting a teensy bit stretched.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
About what?
About your schedule. Do you think you're taking on too much?
Are you suggesting I can't handle it?
I think the pile of rubble at your feet suggests that.
What am I going to do?
You need to pare back, Mom.
Pare back where? I'm playing the lead in this play, promised to sew the costumes. There's the newspaper to think of.
I have that handled.
Not to mention the dog walking business.
Why did you add that again?
Oh, Bertha the dog walker went to San Diego for a month and left 20 clients in the lurch.
That's not really your problem, Mom.
I know, but what else could I do? She asked me so nicely.
You are running yourself ragged.
I'll be fine. Fine. I just need to get organized. Now, where is that list? Uh-huh. Right here.
Hey, what are you writing that on?
A piece of paper.
No, I mean, what are you using as a board? That's my style book.
I'm sorry, honey. I must have grabbed it at your desk.
What else have you taken from my desk? Is that my favorite pen? The one you promised never to use?
No. Maybe.
Mother, you are overextended. You have got to give something up.
All right, all right. The dog walking will go.
Good.
Right after I feed Buggy.
Do what?
Feed Buggy. He's an adorable little pug dog that lives just down the alley. The Wilsons are gone this week and I'm feeding him. Dinner is currently 5 minutes late.
I'll tell you what. I need the walk. I'll go feed Buggy the pug. You get organized here, all right?
Oh, thank you, Melody. Thank you so much. The key is in my purse, and the instructions for feeding him are on the kitchen counter. And be sure to fill his water dish from bottled stuff in the pantry, not from the tap.
Okay. You just get organized and start on those costumes.
Oh, that reminds me. Could I ask you for another favor when you get back?
Of course. What?
Could you possibly show me how to sew?
Goodbye, Mother.
Remember, bottled water.
Uh-huh. There you go, Buggy. One-third kibble, two-thirds lamb and turkey fricassee. Well, the sheet says I'm supposed to wait until you finish eating, which, from the looks of things, shouldn't take too long. Well, what's wrong? You hear something? Oh, come on, Buggy. I gotta get home. Come back. You're only half done.
Calm down. Shh. Quiet. Oh, now what's wrong?
Does the saw bother you? Hurt your ears? I don't know if I can do much about that.
What was that? Buggy, calm down. What was... Phone. Where's my... Oh, I left it on the counter at home. And I think the Wilsons got rid of their landline, too. Wait here, Buggy. I gotta get home and call Sam right now. Where is it? Where is it?
Melody?
Phone. It was right here.
What on earth is wrong?
Where is my phone? This is an emergency.
Oh, no. Is Buggy okay?
Who?
Buggy the pug? Is he on another hunger strike? The Wilsons told me this might happen.
Mother, where is my phone?
It's right under that cookbook there. Oh, would you please tell me?
Shirley, this is Mel. Is Sam there?
What is going on? Sam?
Well,
you're calling the police?
He?
What? What? Oh, no. Something's happened. Buggy's been pugnapped.
When is he going to be back?
It's all my fault. Oh, I should have run him home with us.
An emergency?
Oh, no.
I guess not.
What?
Tell him to call me when he gets a chance. Thanks.
Why are you hanging up? Get them back on the line.
He's not there.
I knew it. Dog nappers.
What? No. Sam's not there.
Well, you should report it anyway. Pugs are a very popular breed right now, and Buggy will disappear into the underground if we don't move fast.
What are you talking about?
Can you use Amber Alerts for dogs? Oh, probably not.
Mother.
There really should be a version for pets, too. Oh, how about Rover Alert? I'm going to copyright that right now.
Mother. Put it in neutral. What are you talking about?
Kidnapped dogs.
Who's a kidnapped dog?
Buggy, you came in all upset and I just assumed...
No, Buggy's fine. Well...
But is he fine or isn't he?
Ugh, he's fine. He's just a little upset about the noises coming from the neighbors.
Oh, well, he's got great hearing. Oh, Mrs. Wilson says a mouse fart will send him into hysterics. What'd he hear?
Melody? Mom, what do you know about the blue house adjoining the Wilsons' backyard?
The old Frank place? Well, I don't know much. I noticed the for sale sign came down last month.
But you don't know anything about the people who live there now?
No, the Wilsons never mentioned them.
Okay, well, Buggy and I heard something. It was pretty upsetting for both of us.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear.
But now that I think about it, I don't know.
Well, what exactly did you hear?
I'm not sure, Mom, but I think maybe it was a murder.
Quiet, Buggy. It's okay. No one's coming over here. So that's the house there?
I'm sure of it.
Tell me again what you heard.
Well, it sounded like a power saw and then a scream.
But could have been a shop accident.
I don't know. There was some terror in the scream. And it was a woman, too.
Well, women can have shop accidents. You know, a gal at the community theater drove a 3-penny nail right through her hand.
Ugh.
Which just goes to show those accidents can happen to anyone. Come to think of it, though, she didn't scream. She fainted.
It's so quiet over there now.
There's only one way to find out what happened, you know.
What's that?
Go over to their door and knock.
I don't know. Maybe I should call the police after all.
Well, maybe you should. It's not like there's a crime wave at the moment. They'd probably appreciate the diversion.
I know.
Melody Kupchak, what is wrong with you?
Nothing.
Well, something must be, because you're actually balking at calling in a murder, and that's not like you.
Okay. Well, Sam's been teasing me.
Oh, and I take it not in the good way?
No. What? Ew! Mother!
Well,
no! He's been teasing me about our detective work.
We're detectives now?
Aren't we?
Well, I thought we were investigative journalists.
Well, if you look at our actual newspaper, there's not a lot of in-depth reporting. It's mostly fishing pictures and hot dish recipes.
I beg your pardon. We just ran a two-part series on the sewer expansion.
And it was good, but it isn't the detective-type stuff we've done. That doesn't end up in the paper. That just gets us getting in and out of trouble.
And that's what Sam's teasing you about?
Well, he was being good-natured about it. He was just, I don't know, he was so condescending.
Well, then maybe we should look into this.
What do you mean?
Well, think about it. If this is a real murder and we solve it, that would show Sam.
And if it's just a guy who cut his thumb with a power saw?
Then Sam doesn't need to know, does he? Come on, Mel, let's at least go over there and check things out. Buggy looks ready for a walk anyway.
Well, okay. Down, Buggy. You're gonna strangle yourself.
Oh, it's his nose. Poor thing's been bred to be cute, not breathe properly.
Okay, Mom. Do we just go up and knock?
I don't see why not. We're just two neighbors making a social call.
And if there was a murder and the murderer's still in there?
I say we cross that bridge when we come to it. Honestly, Mel, what is with you?
What do you mean?
Well, you're all tentative and meek.
There might be a murderer in there.
Yes, and I'd like to enjoy that fact, but I can't without you holding me back with your usual cold water logic. You're making me to be the reasonable one, and it's throwing me off my game.
Well, excuse me. I guess I'm just...
Sam?
Maybe.
Oh, well, the things we do for love.
What exactly am I doing for love?
Caring about what he thinks of you.
Oh, shoot. That makes sense.
You see, I'm being reasonable again. I hate this.
I'm sorry.
Can't we just agree to blame Sam for everything?
Yes, that sounds like a plan.
Okay. Do you want to go around to the shed?
I don't know.
Melody!
Okay. We should knock on the front door.
What if the murderer is out in the shed? We'll have tipped off our presence.
I think we tipped our presence when we sauntered up with an adenoidal pug dog and then spent a full minute discussing my boyfriend.
Good point. You made a good point. You're being reasonable.
You're welcome.
Oh, that feels so much better. I'm gonna knock.
Wait! Let's get our story straight. Why are we doing this?
We're neighbors saying hello.
And if the murderer comes to the door?
Citizen's arrest.
What?
Oh, fine. We run away.
Okay, go ahead and knock.
What's that?
It sounds like a chainsaw.
What's that?
I don't know.
You know what it sounds like, right?
Of course.
Well, you're the reasonable one. What do we do?
The Scoop Sisters will return. Go to iceboxradio.org to learn about memberships in the Icebox Radio Theater.
Is Buggy okay?
Are you kidding? He's having the time of his life. Mrs. Wilson tries to get him to run on their treadmill, but that dog's born to be wild.
Seems to be a lot of that going around. But now that we've calmed down, we have to decide what to do.
We should call the police.
I'd like to avoid that unless we definitely know what's going on in that house.
Melody, I really think we need... Darn it!
What? What is it?
You're making me do it again.
I'm sorry.
I am not the reasonable one, young lady.
I'm sorry, Mother. I really am. I guess I'm a little off my game.
A little?
Look, we've never come to Sam with an actual murder before, have we?
Oh, I don't think so. Kidnappings, missing persons, arson that one time, and of course the ghost.
We never talked to Sam about the ghost.
We didn't?
We never talked to anyone about the ghost. That was your New Year's resolution to me, remember?
Oh, yeah. You threatened me.
Only slightly. The point is, we've never come to Sam claiming the neighbors are offing each other with chainsaws. And now is definitely not the time to start.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting we go over there and confront a killer?
I don't really have a suggestion. Except...
Yes?
Well, we could just go home.
Melody Kupchak.
I know.
Who are you?
I know.
Has that man...
I'm sorry.
Has that man completely trimmed your feathers? Are you actually suggesting we go home and ignore what we heard?
It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No, it does not. Besides, I know you. You'll pretend to ignore all this for a few hours, and you'll get up in the middle of the night and sneak back here to investigate. Then I'll have to come and bail you out. Oh, darn it. Reasonable again.
All right. I'm sorry. I know what we should do.
What?
We need to go over there and knock on the door like we originally planned. We'll talk to whoever answers using our welcoming neighbor story, and then just see what happens.
That sounds good, except for one thing.
What's that?
There's movement over there near the shed. You see it?
Yes.
Someone just drove up in a panel van.
Oh, do you think he can see us over the fence?
Shh, let's play it safe anyway. Get down behind the couch. We can still see from here.
Yeah, good idea, Mom.
Yes, it is. Shoot, reasonable.
Calm down. Now, who is that man? I've never seen him before.
Me neither.
Never? Not even when you were feeding Bucky?
No, never. He must be the man living in that house now. Except I don't think I've ever seen that panel van before either.
Maybe he rented it.
Rented it to haul away something. Wait, where did he go?
Into the garage, the side door.
Oh my goodness.
Is that?
I don't know.
It couldn't be.
It looks like...
a body! Shh!
Quiet. Hey, quiet now. I think he's leaving.
Well.
Yes.
That really looked like...
A body wrapped in an old blanket.
Yes.
So are you ready to call Sam now?
Well, Mom, we saw a man carry off a bundle. We heard saws and screams and other noises coming from the house.
Yes.
Any cop would call that probable cause.
Yes, yes, they would.
And as a citizen that heard something sinister, I should not be afraid to phone this in.
Do you mean...
That's right, Mother. There's been a murder. I am going to call my boyfriend.
This has been The Scoop Sisters in Color, starring
Karen Schickel as Mel,
Victoria Olson as Jasmine,
and Jeffrey Adams as Mr. Perkins and Buggy the Pug. Diane Adams was the director. Script written and directed by Jeffrey Adams. Sound effects created and realized by Dave Irwin. Pre-recorded sound effects engineered by Piran Irwin.
No, no, no. Smaller.
Ruff, ruff.
Better. Now more squishy.
Squishy?
Yes. Like the folds of the skin in your face are smooshed up against your nose.
I don't think I know how to do that.
Oh, just try. Bring out your inner pug.
You know, this really wasn't why I went into radio.
JJ?
Oh, thank God.
We're missing a mic, and Cody says we need it for the show.
What makes you think I have it?
Cody said something about a karaoke party.
Oh, that's right, Jerry's Briss. Yeah, I know right where it is. I'll just go.
You are not going anywhere. There's this business of the pug's voice.
Barb, couldn't I just bark and we call it good?
Oh, ridiculous.
Fine. Nose folds closing around tiny little button nose, entitled attitude.
James.
What? What's wrong?
That's perfect.
Can I go find the microphone now?
Of course. But be ready to go on in half an hour. Do you have your script?
Back pocket. Yeah, come on, Abby.
That was a really good pug.
Don't tell Barb, but I just thought of a miniature bloodhound.
Well, I hope that's the last problem with this play.
You had to say it, didn't you?
What's wrong?
Cody!
I'm here. I got it.
What happened?
I don't know, but I got it.
How can you say I got it if you don't know what it is?
Just give me a second.
Abby, turn on that receiver and see if we're on the air.
James?
Barb, do we really need to right now?
I simply wish to know what's happening with my play. Will these ridiculous mistakes delay the broadcast?
They're not mistakes, they're just technical difficulties. Part of radio.
The show must go on.
And it will.
JJ?
Yes?
We're off the air.
You couldn't have picked a worse moment.
The door to Scrooge's countenhouse was
we're back.
Oh, thank goodness.
Why is he playing that?
Playing what?
That's my Patrick Stewart Christmas carol from last month. Why is he playing that?
He probably just had to grab something.
Okay, we're back on.
Cody, why on earth are you playing a Christmas carol?
I didn't. I just hit our usual Thursday dinner playlist, Strauss through the String Beans.
That's not what's on. Listen.
I don't understand.
Well, you must have started the wrong thing.
You see? Mistakes.
No, that's not what I mean. JJ, you broadcast that show on Christmas Day, right?
From noon to about 4.
Did you make a recording?
Did I what?
A recording. Did you hit record on the production computer?
I must have, right? There it is.
You don't remember?
Good heavens, what is that noise?
That doesn't sound good.
And here comes Mark Preston on another tractor.
Now that's a new tractor that he just got this year, is it not?
I do believe so. And that makes 5 more tractors this 4th of July than last year.
Did he say 4th of July?
What's going on?
I recognize that.
What is it?
That broadcast. That's Cody and I doing the 4th of July parade from like 4 years ago.
Must be a glitch with the playlist computer. That's all. It's gotta be. Right, Cody?
Gotta. I'll go check on it.
Okay, what's that?
I don't recognize it.
JJ, will this affect the play?
Cody, have you ever heard that sound before?
No, never. I'll go check.
Be careful.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure. Just be careful.
Okay.
Good heavens! What is that noise?
Dr. Graves, I didn't know you were still here.
Well, I asked him to help with the sound effects.
It's all very exciting. But will this humming put a crimp in our show?
Not sure. Cody's looking into it now. I'm sure it's nothing.
JJ?
What is it?
I think you need to take a look outside.
I have enough problems inside. I don't need to... Holy crap!
What? What is it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It's fog, right? It looks like fog.
Fog that's red? And where did it come from? It was supposed to be bright and clear today.
Oh my!
Well, it's eerie looking, isn't it?
It's wonderful!
What?
It's the most wonderful thing I've ever seen.
Fog is the most wonderful thing you've ever seen?
No, unless I miss my guess, Abby. That is actually ectoplasmic mist.
What?
Ew.
The first physical manifestation of beings from the great beyond. I used to have it in my bathroom all the time.
You mean there are ghosts on the street outside?
Ghosts everywhere. There's mist all over town.
I've never seen that before. I wonder if they're back at the manor. I have to go back.
But you are a sound effects man.
I know, but I simply must go to the house first and check. She promised me they would come back, and it's happening.
Wait, who promised you?
Well, there's no time now. I must go check. They've come back. I just know it.
Doctor, I forbid it.
I'll just be a moment. A heartbeat.
We go live in 10 minutes.
I wouldn't be able to concentrate without knowing. Do you see what it looks like out there?
Yes, very mysterious and scary.
Exactly! All my friends might be home.
Oh, very well.
You're serious?
Well, look at him. He can't stand still, much less concentrate on doing sound effects.
Splendid!
Hurry along, Doctor, and I want you back here in 5 minutes.
I'll fly like the wind.
What's going on? What's that hum on the station?
Oh, nothing, really. Something about fog in Dr. Graves' bathroom.
Wait! Stop!
It's okay. Dr. Graves wanted to go check on his ghosts at home.
Stop him!
What?
He can't! Wait!
Jennifer, what's wrong?
He's heading out into the mist.
Well, do you want me to call him back? I don't...
Don't open the door!
Okay, fine.
We can catch him. He's just walking to his car. You can see him from where we are right now.
What happened? What was that?
It was like a slit in the mist opened up and swallowed Dr. Graves. He just got sucked in.
Guys?
I told you were all in danger.
Jennifer, you have to tell us what's going on.
Guys?
I wish I could, but I can't. This is my fault.
Guys?
It's too late. If I'd have gotten you out of here earlier, we'd have a chance. But once the ETM manifests, it's too late. They're coming.
ETM?
Extraterrestrial transport medium. We're too late.
What is going on?
Abby.
What?
The window. Look.
What? What is that?
It's something looking in the window at us.
Yeah, but what is it?
I know what it looks like. Big gray head, giant black eyes, like a cat's eyes with no pupils, just empty, rail-thin body. I know what it looks like, all right.
An alien?
An alien from a nightmare.
Jennifer?
Yes, Abby?
What is it, really?
It's the end.
This has been Radio Icebox Season 1, Episode 10, Play Misty For Me, written and directed by Jeffrey Adams. Your cast this evening featured Ayla McIntosh as Abby, Cody Boyer as Cody, Scotta Turner played Jennifer, Victoria Olson was Barb, Jeffrey Adams played JJ, and Douglas Screeth was Dr. Graves. Direction and post-production by Jeffrey Adams. Some sound effects from the Freesound Project at freesound.org. The song this week was The Way to Love You by Myron Hauerlich. You can learn more about his music and pick up a copy of his album by contacting us at the Icebox Radio Theater at iceboxradio.org. The Radio Icebox Playhouse theme song is Monkeys Spinning Monkeys by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. The radio play was part one of The Scoop Sisters, Sound of Doom, by Jeffrey Adams, and was originally produced by Radio Icebox in 2014. Radio Icebox Season 1 is made possible in part by the voters of Minnesota through a grant from the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, thanks to appropriations from the Minnesota State Legislature's General and Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds.